You're listening to Civic from the San Francisco Public Press. On this edition, we'll take you to a car caravan of mail workers fighting to save the Postal Service.
Initially, in 1970, when the post office was established, we were always supposed to be nonprofit, and we're supposed to serve the public, we're supposed to serve the people. We deliver letters all the way in the boonies, where UPS and FedEx will not even waste their time or money to go out there.
I'm Laura Wenis, and this is Civic. The United States Postal Service is running out of money. The agency requested $75 billion in emergency funding in April, saying it would be out of money by September. Lower demand for its services and the health impacts of the coronavirus pandemic have hit the Postal Service hard. It did not get $75 billion. Legislators had planned to give the Postal Service $25 billion in the CARES Act, but the Trump administration blocked the funding. The Postal Service does have access to $10 billion in loans, but Donald Trump himself has suggested that the Postal Service should raise its prices. Louis DeJoy, a longtime Trump supporter and fundraiser, took over as the U.S. Postmaster earlier this month. The issue of the Postal Service not being financially sustainable is many years old. In fact, it's been losing money for 13 consecutive years, mostly because in 2006, Congress passed a requirement that the agency pre-fund retirements for its employees. A bill to reverse that requirement has passed the House, but not the Senate. I talked with Cindy DeTangel, local president of the American Postal Workers Union in San Francisco, about the Postal Service's financial troubles.
Right now, we service people. We have, mail delivery to people that can't afford mailboxes, can't afford or don't have residences where they could have addresses that mail and important items, prescriptions, things like that needs to be delivered to. The Postal Service also provides service to people that live far away from big cities in rural areas. And if this company becomes a profit-based company, you can almost guarantee that these prices to deliver simple letters and packages are going to go up because they, or either that or they will just refuse to deliver there to start off with.
How long has this been going on? I mean, I just said I did stories about this years ago, but from your perspective, I mean, how long has this been a topic?
I can't say for sure. I've been in the Postal Service since 1998. And even back then there was talk about privatizing. It's just gotten worse as the years have gone on. And also, the Postal Service is mandated to pre-fund retirement. And that's something, well, basically the Postal Service needs to put in for, I can't remember the exact number of years, but several years into the future of funds that are supposed to be for retirement. And no other company is required to do that. And that has also set us back in terms of putting us in the red.
Some lawmakers have insisted repeatedly that the Postal Service is failing because it doesn't make a profit and needs to either be reformed or privatized in order to do so. I asked a few other postal workers about this idea. Here's Ashley Purcell, a window clerk at the Pine Station Post Office.
I think that that's definitely the wrong way of looking at it, because what we do is, with the level of confidentiality, we take people's important documents and we handle that with the utmost care. And I feel that if they privatize it and they change the dynamic, they might bring in people who don't necessarily care or appreciate exactly what it is that we do right now, and it could lead to a lot of detriment in the future. And that's one thing that I'm very fearful of.
Margaret Wilson is retired but is vice president of the local union and the steward for customer service.
Initially in 1970, when the post office was established, we were always supposed to be nonprofit, and we're supposed to serve the public, we're supposed to serve the people. We deliver letters all the way in the boonies, where UPS and FedEx will not even waste their time or money to go out there. So it's a lot with people who live in the suburbs. A lot of corporations still do massive mailing, for advertisement. So it's really to serve the people. So no, to make a profit, no. And the reason that a lot of the funds have been frozen because they had overfunded the retirement.
Right. What's with that? I've heard about that for a long time. This has been a thing. Why does the Postal Service have to fund its retirement years in advance and other departments don't?
Well, we've done it, but the thing is they overfunded. So that became the issue.
Here's Jose Riquelme, who works for the USPS at the airport station.
We are the People's Post Office. This is no corporation post office. We are here to provide a service, not to make a profit from the people. Remember that we don't receive any cent from the people's tax pay. We just function with our service, with our work, and with the prices that we have. It's a prices that, you know, is very low, is universal, and give the service to everybody. It doesn't matter if you are rich or poor or middle class, the service is the same and the price is the same. And we try to keep it in that way. If we allow the corporations to take hands or put hands in our postal service, those prices are going to up. And the only thing that we're going to get is that we're going to have people that don't receive this universal service.
Right. So the only thing you could do is just like cut the service that is the most costly.
For the profiteers guys, they are not gonna get any profit to deliver a piece of mail, you know, 1,000 miles for that price, because they are trying to get only profit. The postal service right now, we don't look for profit. We are giving service and we are trying to keep it that way.
The coronavirus pandemic has hit the Postal Service hard. Under normal circumstances, the post office doesn't use taxpayer dollars to function. But with the pandemic, the USPS needs federal stimulus dollars, which the president rejected.
I don't know why. In 2008, you know, the government gives, you know, some relief to the bankers with our money. Then the government of Trump is giving, you know, help to other companies, private companies, and why they cannot give us a people post office relief. That's what we need. This post office belongs to the people. And I guess that we have more right to any other company to receive the help from our money.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that the Postal Service is a federal government, you know, service, but it is not funded by taxpayers?
No, we don't. There is some confusion in people. People think that, you know, the government give us some money to survive. No, we don't. We don't receive any cent from the taxpayers. We survive with our service, with our work, and with the prices that we have. If the situation, the financial economic right now affecting more us, it's because the coronavirus, but it's not only the post service that is affected, also is only the private companies.
Right. What is this threat of going bankrupt and really losing money? What has that done to you as a worker? Are you worried that the whole department may go away? Are you fearful for your job? What are you expecting with this financial situation?
Yeah. Okay. Well, of course, you know, we as a worker, we need our job. But we have the resource, the government has the resource to provide help. So of course, you know, we're afraid for lose our job. Of course, we are afraid to lose the post office as a public institution. This is a way that, you know, the profiteers is trying to make that image that the post office cannot survive and they can take, you know, the post office as a private company.
And so What will it take to save the post office?
Well, the thing is, we are asking the people that please call the Senate and ask to support the postal service so we can provide, you know, the financial, the good service, universal service that we're providing now.
Here's to Tangel again, president of the local union.
So now this stimulus package was passed and the postal service was pretty specifically excluded from getting stimulus money. How much money are we talking about here, and how serious a blow is that to the Postal Service?
Well, right now we're asking for them to fund us at least $25 billion. And it's gotten worse because of this COVID, you know, pandemic that we're going through. We have a loss of revenue, the mail volume's down. I know the parcels have been up some, but in terms of in general, you know, we are losing a lot of money. There's also a lot of leave usage because of the COVID-19 virus. So this is just enough so that we do not go out of business by September of this year.
Initially, our president, Dimas Singh, had already told the membership that we're running out of funds. And of course, the letters and the mail and the parcels has decreased, of course, because of the COVID-19 and people staying home, not mailing items out, you know. So there's been a decrease of all the mailing, and we had a request to President Trump for the funding, which he already said he was denying it.
For most of the workers I talked to, the virus was scary, but the threat of the entire service going bankrupt is worse than the threat of getting sick, since protections are mostly in place.
What kind of protections have you implemented in the workplace to mitigate the spread of coronavirus?
Well, we've been having several teleconferences with management. We were doing it daily. Now we're down to once a week. But in the beginning parts of it, they had a really hard time with PPEs like everybody else. We didn't have the masks, we didn't have the gloves. Sanitizers are really scarce. So right now we're doing a lot better. They've had, you know, improved on getting everybody the protective gear that they need. The only problem is, you know, right now that I see is when we have these positive cases, it's really hard because there's so many employees in one building just to trace who they've come into contact with. So it's really scary for a lot of, you know, employees.
How many people are in one building? Can you paint me a picture? I've never been inside, you know, the back end of the Postal Service.
Yeah. Well, it depends on which facility. So for San Francisco, we have three main facilities. The one right here on Evans is one of the biggest one we have. And there's several hundred in there per tour. And we have three separate tours. Then we also have the other unions that, you know, it's not part of APW. We have the Mail Handlers Union and we have the Carriers Union. And they, I'm not quite sure how many employees they have. Then we have one at the airport that also has several hundred. We have one down in Burlingame. And then we have the smaller post offices throughout the city. And that could, you know, have as little as one all the way up to maybe 6-7 employees for us. And that also, you know, includes other unions as well that's there that I don't keep count of, but you know, like a lot of the carriers work out of these small post offices, and it's also really a hard time for them because they're the ones that are in the public more than we are.
Right. Yeah, I was wondering, I mean, which is more of a concern? Is it working together with employees in close quarters, or is it working out in public facing sort of more service positions?
I guess going out in the public for the carriers, they have more contact with the public. But the bad thing about that is when they get infected, they come back to our facilities and then they, you know, have interactions with our employees, with our members, APW members. And that's where a lot of the concern is when there's interaction between employees.
What do you do on the daily, like what's your daily work schedule like?
I worked in the post office for over 35 years. I start as a machine processor, and then I change from, through the years, I change from different processing ways. Right now, I'm working in the airport in San Francisco, and we process the mail, international mail. You know, we process the mail, so the letter carriers in the following day, they can deliver the mail. Also, you know, we deliver the mail, and we dispatch mail for the international, so that's a everyday work.
How long's your shift?
My shift is 8 hours. Sometimes, you know, according to the volume of mail, we gotta stay overtime. So sometimes take 2 hours overtime. So it's 44 hours every week.
And how many people work with you on a daily basis? I'm trying to get a sense of, you know, what it looks like in there, how big this workplace is.
The facility is 24/7. So in my tour, I work in tour 3, that means in the evening, I start at 3:30 to midnight. We work maybe 120 people in that tour. Altogether, it's around 300 people in all three tours.
And how has your work life changed with coronavirus?
Well, the post office, you know, it's a service that, you know, never stop. We were in the front lines. So how it changed? Of course, you know, we are having measures. We are afraid because we know that around the country, a lot of postal workers were infected. So every time we hear that somebody is infected, we, you know, it's like a refresh us that we gotta keep, you know, the prevention ways, like wash your hands, sanitizer, cover your mask, keep a distance. So that's what we're doing. Of course, you know, that's some way that slow a little the process. But we as a postal workers, you know, we are, we deal with different, you know, times that, you know, the service demand more effort from us. So that's what we do in order that we can keep the service for the people.
Purcell, for one, is keeping an optimistic outlook.
Can you tell me a little bit about how the coronavirus pandemic has changed the way that you work? Like, what immediately changed once it became clear, oh, okay, there's a pandemic here today?
The social distancing and the aspect of, we used to be able to be a lot more friendly with our customers and a lot more talkative with our customers, but unfortunately, with social distancing now, we've had to kind of step back a little bit. So that part has been a little bit of a shift, but luckily, everybody's been on board with it. So it's just, we haven't been able to communicate as much as we'd like to with everybody, but we've been still being able to accomplish our jobs and get everything done, so.
And what's it like inside the postal office? Like, you know, you work at a window, right?
I do.
So how has that changed?
For the window, we've gotten a little bit busier at the window, but that's more care packages going out. We haven't had as many letters coming in, so we've noticed a shift in business. But it's still been busy, but it hasn't been the same.
Are you concerned at all about getting sick from work?
Yes and no, but I try not to think about it like that, because at the end of the day, this still needs to get done, and what we do is very crucial to the community. We deliver medicine and everything, so I can't let the fact that I'm fearful get in the way of the fact that I'm doing something that's helping, and it's helping me as well. So it's been one of those things that if it's out of your control, I try not to dwell on it too much.
What about people that you work with? Are they talking about it? Are they worried about it? Are they asking for further protections?
Well, yes, we've asked for further protections, but we've received everything. I really can't complain. We got hand sanitizer, we have face masks, we have gloves, we have elements to where we can social distance at work, and they've done everything that we could possibly do to protect ourselves and still accomplish the goals and the task at hand.
We'll hear more from the postal workers about why they organized a car caravan to save the Postal Service in just a moment. You've been listening to Civic from the San Francisco Public Press.
KSFP would like to thank the awesome, forward-thinking institutional supporters of the San Francisco Public Press, including the San Francisco Foundation, the James Irvine Foundation, the Reva and David Logan Foundation, Craig Newmark Philanthropies, the Jonathan Logan Family Foundation, the Ethics and Excellence in Journalism Foundation, the Fund for Nonprofit News at the Miami Foundation, the Fund for Investigative Journalism, the California Endowment, the Center for Cultural Innovation, the Institute for Nonprofit News, and the local independent online news publishers. This is KSFP LP San Francisco, 102.5 FM.
Let's hear more from postal workers about the financial strain the Postal Service is under and why they're asking for the Senate to approve a stimulus package that includes funding for them. Among the most crucial pieces of mail that postal workers will carry will be ballots.
September of this year is a scary deadline because our elections essentially are now going to depend on being able to vote by mail. In fact, I believe Governor Gavin Newsom has been trying to implement vote by mail for everybody in the entire state of California. What happens if, in fact, the Postal Service does go bankrupt by September and in November there is no Postal Service to carry ballots?
I have no idea, and that's why we're employing this caravan to get public support so that we can get that funding and to put pressure on Congress to pass this stimulus package for us. And like I said, this election is very important, and for people to get their vote in and exercise their voting rights, the Postal Service needs to be functioning.
What have the effects been locally? I mean, for just your everyday mail carrier, the person you see every day delivering your mail, what has this impending bankruptcy meant for them?
Well, I mean, a lot of people are worried. I mean, it's their livelihood, it's their jobs, it's their families. And we just are not sure of what's going to happen in the future. And a lot of the employees are just trying their best to come to work, even with this virus. We've had several positive cases. Just yesterday, we had another one down here on Napoleon Street facility. So, yeah, it's difficult, but everybody's trying their best to get the mail out as best they can. And, you know, hopefully we will get this stimulus package.
So right now we're kind of in a red zone. We need a little bit of government assistance, a little bit of funding right now. So we're just trying to let people know that we want to be here to help. But right now our funds are a little bit low. And if we could get a little bit of government assistance and if they can help make some noise for us, it would be really appreciated for us as well as for the community.
How have you been feeling that? I mean, the Postal Service has been, you know, seeing this financial crisis coming down the pike for quite a while now. And, you know, we're hearing stuff like by September, the Postal Service could be bankrupt. How does that, what's the fallout of that on the local level, on you?
Very, very mixed emotions about it. I mean, on one hand, it's sad and it's devastating when you don't know what's going to happen next. But on the other hand, we've had such a great outpour from the community, people coming in, purchasing stamps, telling us they support us. And it really means a lot. It just gives us that push to keep going and continuing, even through the virus.
Are you fearful for your job?
Yes and no. I do have faith, and I know that it will work out, you know, and I'm devastated if something didn't work out in our favor. But I know that we'll all be okay because we're a really professional group of people, and we love to work, and wherever we end up, we'll succeed.
One reason why this September sort of expected deadline of being bankrupt is so frightening is because November is a big election and a lot of it might need vote by mail. What are your thoughts on voting by mail and the role of the post office there?
I definitely think that voting by mail is very important because a lot of people aren't able to get out to the polls, especially now with the virus. People are just fearful. But then you also have some elderly people who aren't able to drive, and it's been very convenient for everybody. And I just really would hate to see that opportunity go, especially with this election coming up. It's I don't want to get emotional, but it's very scary the direction that things could go in. And I think that anybody and everybody who can vote this year should get out and vote this year, regardless of who you're voting for. Get out and speak your piece, because if we don't vote, we won't have the right to speak on how we feel things are being handled in the future, which was one mistake that I'm kind of ashamed to say that I did not vote last time in the election. So anytime that I can get out voting, whether it's on the city level, presidential level, any level, I'm getting out to vote now because I want to make a difference. I want my voice to be heard.
Do you mind if I ask you what you're feeling right now? Because you did get a little bit emotional there.
I really feel like, okay, well, with me being African-American and with everything that's going on with the Black Lives Matter right now, I really feel that people are getting divided and it's on a political front. And I just feel like things like that could be very avoidable if we all come together in the future, if we can figure out a way to agree on things. Even when it comes to the election, we can agree to disagree and figure out how to move forward. But I feel like right now, me personally, I feel like a lot of people are reluctant to make changes, and maybe that's just how I would like to see things done differently. But in a perfect world, we can't change it. You know, it is what it is. So it's just one of those things that I just try to, if I can't change it, I try not to dwell on it too much.
We understand, and I also hear, you know, the president doesn't like, you know, he's not to agree that the people vote by mail. So that's something that, you know, made me think about it, why they don't want to give us that relief. The postal service is a good way to handle a lot of things. A lot of people that they are sick, they can still vote just by mail. So the postal service is crucial in this election coming in November.
So local mail carriers got in their cars, decorated with balloons and signs that said Save the Postal Service, and they set off on a tour around San Francisco, honking and cheering, hoping to draw attention to the impending calamity for the mail. This is the support that they're asking for.
We're out here because today has been deemed National Day of Action, and our national is organizing nationwide to have some kind of event occur locally, and they requested that we do something to have the public be aware of what we're requesting in the next stimulus package. Also, you know, we want support in terms of them calling their representatives and have them pass the next stimulus package, including funding for the Postal Service to keep us in business. You know, there's been a long fight in terms of forces that wants to privatize the Postal Service, which would really be a big blow to the community that we serve. We serve so many people, the poor, the elderly, disabled. So we really need to keep the Postal Service as a service instead of a profit geared business. Okay, so that's why we're here. And I believe there's other locals also doing it nationwide. We are hoping that the public supports the Postal Service to keep the institution going. It's something that's been with our country for so long, and it's not something that I believe that we should let go and let it become some kind of large, or break it up even. I think part of the strategy is to dismantle it and break it up to smaller pieces. You know, right now it's a service that we provide no matter where you live, how far you are from the nearest post office. The carriers deliver anywhere, you know. So that's something that I'm hoping the Congress will support also and pass the stimulus package for us.
In what ways can people, any regular person, support the Postal Service?
Okay, well, right now we're asking for them to contact the representatives. We have a phone number. It's 844-402-1001. And to let them know that you support us getting the funding in the next stimulus package. There's also a website that APW has set up. It's APWU.org/save the post office, and that will have more information and some letter writing campaigns with some templates that they can use, and get all your family members, your neighborhood, your community into this, and you know, make sure that our voice is heard, that we need the Postal Service.
So how would you like people who use the Postal Service or don't use the Postal Service to support you?
If they use the Postal Service, to continue to come in, purchase stamps, to send cards to their loved ones. And if they don't, when they see things on Facebook, if it's informative, just to please share it with people, because they might not necessarily utilize us, their grandparents might, or they might have a friend that information would be useful. So to share if you come across things on social media, but also to come in and say hello.
We are asking the people that please call the Senate and ask to support the Postal Service, so we can provide, you know, the financial, the good service, universal service that we're providing now.
We want them to call their senators. We want them to go on our APW website to save the post office. There's letters already that they just have to enter their zip code, their email, and send off the letters to get the support in Congress and in the Senate, and get Trump to approve it.
The House of Representatives has approved a new stimulus package with $25 billion in emergency funding for the Postal Service included. It's the Senate that would need to approve it next for it to go to the White House. I'm Laura Wenis, and you've been listening to Civic,